بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين inshallah, in this session we want to study lesson 9 of the book Theological Instructions. It is about essential qualities or attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this session, inshallah, we will explain what is in the book, and maybe if you think we need to expand, then we can, you know, mention also points from other sources next session. As you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes or wajibul wujud attributes can be classified in different ways. One way was the way that we discussed last session, and that is to divide them into affirmative attributes and negational attributes. As-sifat al-thubutiyya, as-sifat al-salbiyya. Okay? And I said I'm hesitant to say negative attributes because it's not a matter of negative, it's a matter of negational salbiyya. So we talked about them. Another way of classification of divine attributes or wajib wujud attributes, the second way, is to divide them into attributes of essence or essential attributes on the one side, and attributes of action on the other side. As-sifat al-dhatiyya and as-sifat al-fi'liya. Okay? Sifa means attribute. Sifat is the plural form. As-sifat al-dhatiyya are those attributes that relate to the essence of God, to the essence of wajibul wujud, to the essence of creator, to the essence of the originating cause. These are different titles for the same reality. Okay? Relate to the essence. You want to describe God's essence directly. Attributes of action relate to actions of God, not essence of God. In other words, attributes of action describe the relation between God and his creatures. They describe the relation between God and his creations, not primarily his essence, although it's related to his essence, but not primarily. Okay? So one set of attributes primarily is focus on the essence of God. Another is focus on the relation between God and his creatures. So these are two different types of attributes. For example, God has life. God is living. In all Abrahamic religions, you know, we have this notion that God is living, al-hayy. In the Quran, this concept is mentioned. I think it's at least 5 times mentioned in the Quran. Sometimes Allah says, Allahu la ilaha illa hu, al-hayyul qayyum. So, he is the one who is no God other than him, the living. the self-sufficient or subsistent. So Hay has come after Tawheed. La ilaha illa hu al-Hay. It's very important. It comes after Tawheed. Sometimes comes before Tawheed. Huwa al-Hay la ilaha illa hu. So Hay is very important. Okay, this concept of Hay that inshallah we'll talk about it later is related to God's essence or actions. Essence. We are describing his essence. We say he is a living reality. Okay, we are focused on his essence. Or when we say God has knowledge, so we focus on his essence. Of course, there is a way of considering knowledge as a quality of action that we'll talk about it later. But most of the time when we talk about God's knowledge, we talk about it as a quality of essence. Or God has power. This is about essence. But when we say God is Razzaq, sustainer, this is something for which you need to go out of the essence. Yeah? Your vision should be focused on relation between God and his creature. If you focus on God's essence, there is no concept of rizq. Yeah? When do you come to understand, to reflect on God being Razzaq? When you consider God and his, for example, servant, like a human being or an animal or plant, and they say Allah is giving what that person or that animal or that plant needs, so this provision is sustenance. So we say God is sustainer. So the only way to come to this concept is when you reflect on a relation between God and his creation. Okay? Or for example, we say God is forgiver, forgiving, kafir. When you can think of kafir, if you just focus on God's essence, you cannot think of God being kafir. You must consider a person who has committed a sin, and then God is forgiving his sin. Then you can think of God being forgiving. So there must be a relation between God and a sinner. Okay? So this is the quality of action. And here, you know, in barakats, here there is a kind of question that sometimes people, you know, may misunderstand. They say for God to be forgiving, there must be sinners. If there were no sinners, God was not ghafir. So people must commit sin so that God is forgiving. So, what is the answer?
Now imams ask for forgiveness and they're not sinners.
Pardon?
Now imams ask for forgiveness sometimes, but they're not sinners.
But that is forgiving of a sin again, but a sin which is not sin in the sense that we use it. Something that they consider for themselves to be sin. Okay? For example, if you were all angels, then Allah was not forgiving. Pardon? They ask for us, not for themselves. So if we were also like them, then they were not asking for forgiveness.
It must be essence then.
Some attribute, if, like, for example, if you don't see that God is still forgiveness, So if we don't need to be to commit sin, then God be forgiving, but is forgiving.
No, if we were all angels, okay? Because for angels we don't use God is forgiving angels. Okay, have you found any place that God is forgiving angels in the Quran? That story of course Petros is controversial. You know, that angel is controversial. And I don't want to make judgment about that. But normally speaking, at least as far as the Quran is concerned, we don't have any place that Quran talks about angels sinning or angels being forgiven. They ask forgiveness for mu'mineen. Yeah? يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So, if people were not sinning, God was not forgiving. So, this is the kind of argument that some people use. Qualities of actions do not exist eternally. Qualities of action are taken, or more precisely, abstracted by our mind after reflecting on a relation that exists between God and one or more of his creatures. Maybe one creature, maybe many creatures. For example, person so-and-so has repented.
Please stop. Can you repeat the sentence? It was beautiful, but I couldn't get all of it.
Qualities of action are taken or abstracted by our mind when it reflects on a relation that exists between God and one or more of his creatures. For example, so-and-so has committed a sin, then he sincerely repented, and God forgave him. Because of his sincerity, his, you know, sincere repentance, God has forgiven him. Before he repented, he was not forgiven. Okay? Of course, I'm not talking about forgiveness now, because sometimes there are sins that even before repentance may Allah forgive. But sometimes it needs repentance. For example, if someone avoids major sins, minor sins will be forgiven even without asking for forgiveness. And even major sins can be sometimes forgiven without tawbah, apart from shirk. We don't want to talk about forgiveness, it's another topic. But what I'm saying is that someone was not forgiven because he had committed a sin. Later he repented and God forgave him. So our mind has abstracted the concept of forgiveness here when reflected on the relation between God and this person, which is new. Before repentance, there was another relation between God and him. God was not happy with him. God was not pleased with him. Now God is pleased with him. God has forgiven him. So mind reflects on the relation between God and this person. This relation is changing. Okay? This relation is changing. We can say, God forgave him last night when he was doing Salatul Layl, for example, and crying and asking for forgiveness. God forgave him. So God had not forgiven him yesterday, the day before, but forgave him last night. Okay? So the relation between him and God is changing. Why the relation is changing? Because that person has changed. God has not changed. A relation can change when both parts change, or when one part changes. Okay? For a relation to change, for example, there are two people who are very good friends. Okay? Then their relation changes and they are no longer friends. For this change, do both of them need to change, or it's enough one of them changes? Sometimes just one changes. The other person has not changed, but I don't know why the other person is not anymore friend. Yeah? Sometimes both parties change. Okay? But no matter whether both have changed or one has changed, the relation changes. Okay? Between God and us, only we change. God never changes. Okay? But when we change, our relation with God changes. So, when a person is forgiven or not forgiven, when a person is loved or not loved, okay? When a person is guided or not guided. In all these cases, God is the same God with all the love and all the mercy that he has. It's just this person that either putting himself into a position that he can receive love, guidance, forgiveness, or he deprives himself. The example I gave you last week, that sun is shining all the time, but we can be in a room which is closed, so it's dark, we don't receive sunshine, or we can go outside and expose ourselves to light. Sun has not changed. Or for example, we have day and night. It's because of earth moving. Otherwise, sun has no day and night. Yeah? Sun is working 24 hours. For us, it's day and night. Okay? So it's because of our encounter is changing. So, God is not changing. Therefore, whether God forgives or doesn't forgive is not a matter of God changing. God has all the love, all the goodness, all the beauty, all the mercy, everything. But you either qualify yourself for pleasure of God, or you are displeasing God. Either you are forgiven or you are not forgiven. So, in other words, if we commit sin or we don't commit sin, and after if we commit sin, if we ask for forgiveness or we don't ask for forgiveness, in all these cases, God is the same. It's not that by us committing sin and then God forgiving us, God becomes more perfect. And when you say, if you hadn't committed sin and repented, God was not forgiving, we say, okay, this is a quality of action, it's not important. Qualities of action can be there or can be not there. They don't show perfection or imperfection of God. You understand?
Yeah.
Qualities of action are not important at all. In the sense of perfection of God. God, for example, gives you a child. You say, Alhamdulillah, today God gave me a child. Okay. Does it mean that God has changed? You may say, God must have changed because yesterday he didn't give me a child. Today he gave me a child. So God has changed. I say, no. God has not changed. Your relation with God changed. Because of what? Because of your situation. For example, your wife was still pregnant, and the time, the material conditions were not appropriate for being given a child. You had to wait. Like, for example, we say this tree is now bearing fruits. Okay? Why it didn't bear fruits before? Because condition was not prepared. I can also say that God gave me now these fruits. Because God is the giver through the tree. God is the giver of the child through mother, for example, to me. Okay? So it's not a matter of God changing, it's a matter of relation changing, and relation change because of the conditions changing. Conditions can change because you have changed, or other people have changed, or the world has changed. There are so many possibilities for change. But God is not changing in his essence. God is changing in his qualities of action. Okay? So, whenever you see in the Quran or Hadith, something is attributed to Allah at a particular time or at a particular space, you must realize that this is a quality of action, because quality of essence have no timing and have no space. Okay? So if something is coming with some attachment to time or a space, it shows that it is related to his action, not his essence. God's essence is the same, whether we are created or not created, whether we are believers or not believers, his essence is not changing. Okay? And this is philosophically also very clear. Why God doesn't change? Because, as we said, if God changes, it means that he is gaining something that he didn't have. And this contradicts wajibul wujud. Because wajibul wujud cannot gain something from outside and cannot give it to himself. Okay? So there cannot be any new condition for God. We can change. Okay. So, we have two types of attributes of God according to this second classification. The first classification was what? The first classification of divine attributes: affirmative and negational. According to this classification, we have qualities of essence and qualities of action. Essence, quality of essence relate to his essence. Qualities of action relate to the relation between God and his creatures. Okay? Now, are there any limits in the qualities that we use for God, we attribute to God? This was a discussion among Muslim theologians, you know, mutakallimun. They had discussion. And the title was Tawqifiyyatul Asma. Tawqifiyya. Hal Asma'ullah Tawqifiyyatun Amla. What does it mean? Whether we should only use those attributes that are mentioned in the Quran and Hadith, Quran and Sunnah, or we can use ourselves concepts that are okay for God. Some theologians had the idea that we cannot use any concept for God unless it is mentioned in the Quran or Sunnah. Like these names of God that we have, you know, in Surah Hadid, Surah Hashr, in Du'as. Okay, we can use them. But nothing other than them. For example, maybe I don't remember any hadith using the concept of wajibul wujud. In the Quran, it's not wajibul wujud. Maybe in a hadith, I don't say definitely, because maybe there's one hadith somewhere. But as far as I know, it's not something in the hadith, wajibul wujud. Or for example, something like muharrik, for example, the first or prime mover. Maybe these are things which are not there. So they said we cannot use these things. But philosophers and some theologians, especially Shiite theologians, had the idea that we can use other concepts for God. But we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. whenever you use a concept for God, it should be a concept which indicates perfection, not imperfection. Okay? For example, you cannot use for God concepts like sleeping, eating, drinking, marrying, dying, because these concepts show lack of perfection. Okay? Show need. Okay? But you can use concepts which show perfection. Like wajib al-wujub. What is wrong with wajib al-wujub? Or like kamil. You can say Allah is most perfect. You can say Allah is, for example, I don't know, the most beautiful. You can use many things. Even, of course, some of them are mentioned in hadith, but even if they were not mentioned in the hadith, as long as that concept shows perfection. Maybe sometimes there are concepts that in essence show perfection, but in reality, in the sometimes they come with imperfection. Here you have to be very careful. For example, when you say life, life is not like eating and drinking and sleeping or dying. Okay? Because can you accept this or not? When you say eating, drinking, dying, you know, this type of thing, sleeping, the main thing which comes to your mind is imperfection, is need. When I say life, the main thing which comes to your mind is knowledge, activity, will, power, this type of things. But at the same time, it comes to your mind, breathing, reproduction, growing, nutrition, these also come to your mind. So, what should we do? We say, okay, these are not essential characteristics of life. We remove them, we put them aside. When we use life for God, we keep the essence of the meaning, but we are very careful not to think of his life in the form which needs nutrition, breathing, growing, reproduction. Okay? So, always you have to refine anything that is associated to life, when it is animal life, human life, plant life, you have to be careful. Leave it aside. But what is the essence of life is there. Maybe sometimes says, okay, why you don't do this with eating and drinking? Say, no, eating and drinking is different, because eating and drinking, in the essence, there is problem. Yeah? Eating and drinking, in the essence, has the problem. And if you want to change the meaning of eating and drinking to a concept that doesn't have problem, then it will no longer be eating and drinking. There is no problem in saying that God has life, but without breathing and growing. But if I say God has eating and drinking and sleeping and death, but I want to remove bad side, nothing would remain that people would rationally call it the same thing. You know, in other words, every concept, okay, that you use has, like a country, has borders. Yeah, the concepts have borders. You cannot stretch them too much. If you stretch them too much, then no longer you can use that concept with that term. Yeah? If I say God has ilm, God has knowledge, but he has no mind, it's no problem. Okay, I am careful that from now on, when I think of God's knowledge, I don't think like a human being whose knowledge is coming from mind and concept. God has knowledge, not through learning. God has knowledge, but not subject to forgetfulness, to mistake. Okay, these are not problem. Still, I can have the concept of knowledge for God. Yeah? But if you stretch it too much so that it's no longer considered as knowledge, then you cannot use knowledge. Okay? So, for example, I cannot say this, object has knowledge of the other object just because they are next to each other. No human being, no rational person uses the concept of knowledge just for two things being together or next to each other. You understand? So there is a limit when you want to refine or when you want to stretch a term. So whenever there is a concept that essentially, primarily indicates a kind of perfection, a kind of goodness, you can use it for God, but you have to be careful not to use it in the way that you use it for human beings, not to use it the way that you use for animals, for plants, for any limited being. Okay? So he is knowledgeable, he's alim, but his ilm is not like our ilm. He is high, he is living, but his hayat is not like our hayat. Okay? This has been a very big debate in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, you know, about how to use divine attributes. Even there were people who were saying that we cannot talk about God. We should suspend any speech about God. You know? They were called mu'attila, ta'til. Means speaking about God is ta'til. It's closed. Okay? We shouldn't talk about God. On the other hand, there were people who were saying that God is like us, like Mushabbiha and Mujassama that we said. Or there were people who were saying that we can say God is not, but we cannot say what he is. Okay? There were also people. So, for example, we can say God is not dead, but we cannot say he is living. We can say God is not Jahil, but we cannot say he is Alim. But it doesn't make sense because Jesus, when he's not dead, he's high. So there were different positions. Our position is very clear. We say you can understand qualities of God, but not in the perfect way, but still in a correct way. Do you get it? You can understand qualities of God, not in a perfect way, but in a still in a correct way. I don't need to understand things perfectly so that I am not ignorant about them. Yeah? But I can understand them to some extent. No one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows him perfectly. Yeah? Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he says, "Ma araftuka haqqa ma'rifatik, o ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifatik." We haven't known you in the way that is perfect, in the way that you know yourself. Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. We also have not served you in the way that we should have served you. Rasulullah knew Allah in the best way which is possible for a human being. But still his knowledge of Allah is not similar to the knowledge of Allah about himself. It's very obvious. Yeah? So, no one can have perfect knowledge of God. Especially when it comes to us, we are still learners. We are still, you know, very much in the beginning of this journey. So, our knowledge of God is very imperfect, but still we can have correct and sound understanding of God. Okay? So you have to be careful. Sometimes it's not perfect, but at the same time it's correct. For example, sometimes, you know, you ask me about a person. I can say this is a good person, but still it doesn't mean that I can say I know everything about this person. Okay? But still I can say he's a good person. Okay? Even our knowledge about ourselves is not perfect. Can you say you know everything about yourself? No. Sometimes You don't know everything about yourself, or maybe all the time we don't know everything about ourselves, yeah? So we believe that it is possible to use concepts which indicate, which signify perfection for God, but we have to be careful. If they come with connotations, with associations of the ideas, which show some kind of imperfection, we should leave those imperfections aside and just use the pure concept for God, like ilm, pure ilm, not ilm like a human ilm, human knowledge, okay? Life, pure life, nothing like human life, animal life, okay? Will, God has will, but pure will. So it's very important that you train your mind so that your mind can understand and analyze the concepts and use them in a very educated way. People who have not studied logic, we have not studied usul al-fiqh, sometimes their mind is very much, you know, naive. You know, when you study logic, when you study especially usul al-fiqh, you know, philosophy, your mind then becomes very sophisticated. You know, there is a story that once, salam alaikum. Once a talib went to a meal. You know, this, like, you know, they make, you know, wheat into flour or okay, a meal. So there was a horse going around and, you know, moving this big stone. Yeah? So there was a bell on the neck of the horse. This talabe asked the owner of that meal and the horse, why you have put bell on the neck of the horse? He said, sometimes I'm not here. I go, for example, to the next room or whatever. But when I hear the sound of the bell, I realize that the horse is moving. If there is no sound, I know the horse has stopped, so I come to move the horse. So this talabe said, what happens if the horse has stopped and just moving the neck? So he said, this horse has not studied usul al-fiqh. So doesn't think that sophisticated way. Yeah? So for a talabe who studies logic, studies usul, his mind becomes full of possibilities and options. Okay? People who are simple, you know, when they go out and they see it's wet, they say, oh, it's rain. But if you have experience, maybe there is rain, maybe there was a machine, you know, was washing here, maybe someone was carrying water and the container, you know, fell down. Tens of possibilities come to your mind. This is why for a faqih, sometimes it's very difficult to come to a fatwa. A faqih who has studied 50 years, 60 years, cannot make fatwa, and he says ihtiyat. But some people who have been in hoza for a few months, they can easily give fatwa. You know, this is the difference. So we have to educate our mind, we have to train our mind, so that we don't look at issues as zero and one, or black and white. There are so many possibilities. You can use a concept, and at the same time, be careful. Don't say we cannot use concept, or we use it as it is. No, there is a middle way. You use those concepts which show perfection, but at the same time, you are careful not to bring any association or connotation that shows imperfection. Okay? So when you say knowledge, when you say life, all these things, you should have this in your mind. Okay. So With respect to that question, whether Asma'ullah are tawqifi or not, so we believe that they are not tawqifi. You can use any concept for God which shows perfection, but you have to be careful. In the books of Kalam and philosophy, normally they list these qualities as qualities of essence. But, you know, in the du'as, in the Quran, you may find, you know, more, but they focus on these few things. One is knowledge, one is power, another is life, another is hearing, seeing, and will. So they mention these things. In Arabic, al-ilm, knowledge. Al-Qudra, power. Al-Hayat, which is life. As-Sam'a, hearing. God is Sami'a. We will explain what does it mean. Al-Basir, he has Basar, seeing. Al-Irada, he's Murid, he has will. So these are major qualities of essence that theologians and philosophers use for God. I explain what is in the book, as I said, but maybe if you want, we can expand next session. But before we go into each of them one by one, there is a general way to prove that God or Wajib al-Wujud should have these qualities. One general way. You remember we said last week that every perfection, I mean by perfection, every good quality, not perfection means absolute perfection. I mean any good quality that effects have, creatures have, should exist in the originating cause. You remember? I said this is not true necessarily about preparatory cause, about al-illat al-i'dadiyya or mu'iddah. You remember the example, we said that maybe mother is illiterate, the child is a scholar. Maybe the gardener is ugly, but the flower is beautiful. This is about the al-illatul mu'idda, or al-illatul i'dadiyya. But originating cause, al-illatul mufidha, we said whatever quality is in ma'lul, in effect, must be coming from where? From al-illatul mufidha. So al-illatul mufidha must have it, and perhaps more. But the minimum is this. Okay? Whatever ma'lul has comes from illah al-mufidha, but maybe al-illah al-mufidha has much more. If you look at, for example, a teacher, if I have, for example, as a teacher, I have a student from first year who can read alphabet, and they know basic, you know, calculations. You cannot say my knowledge is this much because my students know this much. You can say this teacher at least knows this much. Okay? But you cannot say I know this much because my students know this much. If you read a book, you can say that the author has at least this much. If he has not copy-pasted, if it is really his book, at least he knows this much, but maybe he knows much more. Yeah? Ayatollah Mutahhari has book for, you know, stories, the book of his name, Dastan al-Raslan. This Dastan al-Raslan is a story for the children, of course, for everyone, but it was written, you know, for children, and even before revolution, UNESCO gave him prize for this. And, you know, some people even were saying, you shouldn't write, you know, this because you are a great scholar. You know, you write book of story. But he said, whatever is needed, I will do it. No matter whether it is philosophical or, I don't know, theological or mystical, or it is a book of story. But it's not fair and it's not logically sound to say that his knowledge is like this story. This shows that this is the minimum that he has. Okay? So, when you look at our relation with God, we say, okay, we have knowledge. Where does this knowledge come? From God. So, does it mean that God's knowledge is like us? No, it means that at least he must have more knowledge than us. But we cannot understand how much knowledge he has by looking at our knowledge. Like you cannot understand how much knowledge the teacher has when you look at the students. Rasulullah was a teacher for people of that time. But you cannot judge about his knowledge by looking at that people. Those people were very limited in their knowledge compared to Rasulullah. Okay? So, al-illatul mufida has any good quality, any perfection, anything, you know, which is a sign of goodness that exists in the creatures, but not in the same way. At least he has them. But we believe he has them in unlimited way. So, when we have life, God must have life. Okay? When we have knowledge, God must have knowledge. When we have power, God must have power. Okay? Now, question. Someone may say, we have knowledge, but we have also jahl, we have also ignorance. So, does na'uzu billah, God also have jahl? No. The answer is, we said anything which is a sign of perfection. Jahl is not a sign of perfection. In other words, jahl is not anything. Jahl by itself is not something. Jahl is lack of knowledge. Okay? Or for example, death. Death is not by itself a quality that we say, okay, because we have death, God should also have death. No. So you understand? We have knowledge, God should have knowledge. We have power, God should have. But we have death, we have jahl, God doesn't need to have them. Okay? This is one way of understanding that whatever good you have is from God, whatever bad you have is from you. Because the bad things that we have indeed is lack of the perfection. Okay? Yes.
Quick question. The quality of hearing and seeing, isn't that a quality of action or is it?
We will talk about them, inshallah. So this was general. So a general way of understanding these qualities is to say that every good quality that we have, everything is a matter of perfection, a matter of goodness, God should have, of course, not in the same level, much more. But then we will talk about each of them separately. The first is, in the book, the first is hayat, is life. But I think it's better maybe to start with ilm, because for understanding hayat, we need ilm. So if you don't mind, we start with ilm. Okay, we can have a little rest, and then inshallah, we will start. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.